Welcome to Your Bright Recovery Podcast, where we celebrate your story of recovery and resilience. I'm your host, Caroline Beidler. Faith doesn't erase grief. Embracing the experience and finding hope. I love the title of Kate Meyer's new book, available now, published by Lake Drive Books, which, can I just say, I learned about Lake Drive Books when they reached out requesting an interview, and I've really come to appreciate the mission of this independent publisher. No gimmicks, no fake spirituality, no fear. They tell gritty stories, and Kate Meyer's story is a part of this mission of Lake Drive Books that asks really tough questions, but helps us all to consider topics like grieving in a new way. In her book, Kate talks about how the grieving process is part of being human, but too often, those of us who grieve are pushed too quickly from our grief and rushed into rejoicing that our loved ones are now in a better place, are in heaven, especially for those of us who identify as Christians. Why sometimes aren't we allowing ourselves enough time to sit with that grief, to feel it? Now, Kate Meyer, being a licensed professional counselor and ordained minister, not only does she blend psychology, biblical accounts, and everyday experience, she introduces an easily understandable series of phases of grief and helps us all build our own personal toolkits. You are going to be very touched by my conversation with Kate, and I thought it very appropriate to release this conversation around what those of us in the addiction recovery field, those of us impacted by addiction recovery, a day that we honor and cherish, and that is August 31st, which is internationally recognized as International Overdose Awareness Day. So we will talk about, too, how those of us who have lost loved ones to overdose and addiction, how we can move through the grieving process. So without further ado, let's jump right in. I am so grateful to be joined today by Kate Meyer, who has just released an incredible book, Faith Doesn't Erase Grief, Embracing the Experience and Finding Hope. And today I'm going to talk a little bit with Kate about why she wrote her book, why it's important today, and how it might connect with you all, with my audience, folks who may be struggling with addiction loss, other types of loss related to addiction recovery and that struggle that so many of us know well. I don't know about you, listener out there, but I have been to way too many funerals related to overdose. You know, and I see, you know, countless times on social media when I'm just scrolling, sometimes the obituaries coming through and I'm hearing and reading about the headlines. And sometimes it feels overwhelming. And sometimes I struggle with what to do with this grief. So I'm excited today to talk to Kate. If excited is the right word to use here, I know this is heavy stuff. This is a really heavy topic. It's also a human one, and we all experience grief at one time or another. So welcome, Kate, and thank you. So glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
First, I like to just jump right in with things. What led you to write Faith Doesn't Erase Grief?
It came from my clients. I was having just this pattern, this influx of clients seated across from me who came in and wanted to acknowledge their grief, but did so kind of in almost in a whisper. And so I would talk to them about that. And it what was being revealed to me was they were having the shame that because of their faith, their in these cases Christian faith, they were being told or encouraged to just focus on what's next, focus on heaven. Your loved one is happy, healthy, whole. Just focus on that. And we're feeling shamed for just experiencing their grief and feeling less than that they would even be feeling grief instead of just having, quote unquote, enough faith to rejoice. And so the more I heard that, the more frustrated and eventually angry I became. And so, and then I started looking in the market, and it's not addressed. And I wanted to fill that void and get this book out there to help those, you know, intentionally towards a Christian audience, but also I think very easily applied to those of any spirituality or religion, because there's a tendency for that application of guilt from any of those sources. And that's what this is about, is breaking free of that.
So needed. And interestingly, I have a friend who I've been just reaching out to and connecting. She lost a grandmother recently, and it kind of struck me how, like you're saying, I sense this sorrow and sadness from her. And at the same time, you know, when I'd say, oh, hey, how are you doing? Her first response is, you know, I'm okay. I know my family member is in a better place. They're with Jesus. They're, you know, experiencing eternal, you know, life now. And a part of me is like, yes, that is all true. And at the same time, really? Like, are you really feeling that sense of peace and comfort and joy? Are you really? And let me, in fact, ask that friend that question. But either way, I think, and maybe it's kind of a mixture of emotions, like we can be at the same time both comforted and peaceful because where our family's at, and we can also grieve and feel lost and feel anger and go through some of those stages of grief. So, and you obviously, with having years as a chaplain and working in hospice, have walked with family as they've walked through that. I'm curious, because, you know, you say your book was primarily for a certain audience, you know, maybe a faith-based one. It can also apply or be information that's helpful to a wider audience. And that's part of why I was really excited to talk to you today, because a lot of folks in my audience may not be Christian. They may be, you know, seeking God. They may not be, but most folks in my audience have some connection to addiction recovery. And as I just shared kind of in the intro, when we have a connection with addiction recovery today, that I would argue 100% of the time means we have a connection with addiction loss. So for people, like folks in my audience who might be listening today, impacted by addiction loss, what would you say to that person who is in that place, who might be struggling with their faith or not really even, you know, knowing where to start in terms of talking with God about what they're experiencing?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things I address in the book is the both and nature of grief, that we can have both of those things. You touched on that briefly. And so I want to highlight that, because that's really important. Too often faith, will push kind of an either or perspective. You either have faith and are encouraged by it, or you grieve. And that's not what it is. Grief is part of the both and situation. So I think no matter where a person is on their religious journey or their spiritual journey, I think it's human nature for us to recognize that we all have a spiritual component within ourselves. The spiritual component is what helps us connect to other people. It's what helps us connect deeply within ourselves. It's how we connect with nature. It's how we connect with a divine, if that is a part of the belief system. And so the principles and the framework, particularly, I think the framework that I lay out within Faith Doesn't Erase Grief can be applied to any of those levels of spirituality, those who are seeking, those who are exploring, and this was an intentional part of the book, even those who are walking away, wondering if they need to step away from their faith, or are experiencing doubts or are experiencing anger. You know, not many religious traditions allow room for people to truly be angry or ask big questions that sound like doubt. You know, my argument is that doubt is a central part and central and essential part of faith. So, you know, I think the beginning point is embracing that spiritual side of yourself and letting yourself go there and ask those questions without invalidating your own voice and your own question. Because we'll get enough of that from the outside world. So if you can give yourself permission to explore those deeper internal spiritual questions, that I think is a wonderful starting point.
Agreed. 100% agree with you there. Sometimes starting with the questions is a great place to start. And related to that, I have another question. Because of your experience and expertise in working with folks who are grieving, who experience loss, I'm sure, you know, you connect with this and may touch on it in your book that grieving doesn't just have to be connected with loss, meaning someone's death, but that loss is really, we you know, we lose things throughout our life. We lose, you know, our health. We might lose a job. We might lose, you know, a home. I'm curious, in all those areas of loss, not just death, but it certainly could be, and it could be a death related to overdose. What are some ways in your experience that you've learned or you've seen family members, people that you've worked with grieve well? Is there kind of like a, hey, if, you know, if you're feeling like you're in this season of grieving, what, you know, what can we be doing to grieve well?
I think number one most important is getting in touch with your emotions and allowing yourself to go there. So, you know, we as adults, we tend to not be good at emotions anymore. We, you know, as toddlers are told, don't touch that stove, it's hot. And somehow that gets translated into, you know, painful things, avoid them. And around that same time, we're told stop dropping to the ground and, you know, stomping your feet, throwing your fists on the floor and throwing tantrums. And that too somehow gets integrated in our brains as it's not okay to have these emotions. When in reality, all we're teaching children is there's probably healthier ways and less risky ways to deal with your emotion. And I think specifically for people in addiction recovery, there's a lot of emotional work that needs to be done to learn how to feel emotions and release emotions instead of quieting or numbing or avoiding the emotions. So that to me is step one. Learn your healthy ways of release and acknowledgement. You know, emotions do want things from us, but really all they're asking is to be acknowledged and validated, and then we can release them. So I would start there. I think that's a great place to start. I think recognizing or exploring the idea of a changed relationship as well with a person who has died, instead of an ended relationship, is a good tool. But even if, you know, you talk about that all kinds of losses can lead to grief, which is absolutely true. When people are in recovery, they have lost something. It was not something that served them well, but they lost something. And so even being able to say goodbye to that unhealthy, harmful part of life is important. It's important to express that grief as a part of recovery.
I'm just like, my audience, y'all can't see me. I'm just shaking my head. Yes, 100%. I'm actually taking notes, highlighting things. Oh my goodness, so much good stuff here. I love that when you talked about how to feel emotion and then release emotion. And that is such a key component to the recovery experience and my own personal journey of really struggling with, okay, when I had a couple of years in recovery, a couple of years sober, and I started actually feeling things, what on earth am I going to do with that feeling, you know? And then the real work begins, and how that is so connected with that experience of grief too, that we need to be able to feel those emotions. And your book speaks to that so beautifully. And part of those emotions for those of us in a faith community might be anger with God, and it might be doubting the faith. And it might be having a hard time showing up on Sunday because everyone else seems so joyful and, you know, we're feeling so broken down. But just that honesty and that openness and just what a gift feeling is. And that's something, yeah, in recovery, I've just been able to embrace on the good days. On the bad days, I need to continue to work through with my supports. So I wanted to talk a little bit with you. So I recently interviewed Patty Vargas, who is a mom who lost her son, Joel, in 2017 to overdose. And I asked Patty about her faith because I was curious, you know, what happens. And as a mother myself now, I mean, I can't even let my mind go there because it is just, you know, that grief feels so incomprehensible. But I wanted to know, what happened to your faith when that happened to you? And honestly, Kate, I was surprised by her answer. She said that after the death of her son, her faith got stronger. And she went on to talk about how her faith is more than a belief today, that it's a relationship. And I'm like getting goosebumps right now. I just love that so much. So I wanted to share that with you and ask, can you share a bit about how you think grief and loss can really be a redemptive experience for us?
Yes. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. I love to hear things like that. And that's part of the reason I wanted to write this book, because I think the only way that happens is when we can be fully honest with ourselves and with God about what has happened. You know, to get to that point, especially when we're talking about child loss, to get to that point, we have to be able to be raw and real with ourselves and with God about, this is not okay. I do not accept this. And this is, you know, you are supposed to be all powerful and all knowing. And how could you not have stopped this? And, you know, we have to give ourselves the ability to ask those questions in a way that we kind of, I refer to it as taking God to the mat, you know, just like, okay, this is what you say, yet this is what happened. Fill in the blank for me here, God, because I don't get it. And I don't see the point in me continuing to be in this relationship. And when we can do that, and when we can stand there and wait for God to respond in some way, I think that's how we begin the journey to eventually get to a point where we do transcend belief into relationship, when we can cling to that, though there is nothing, there's absolutely nothing God could say that would make us go, oh, okay, I understand why my child died. Like that, there's nothing God could say that would make us have that reaction. And yet there's something to be said for, if I can pour out all of my stuff in its raw and real form and know that God still receives me, not only still receives me, but wants to receive me that way, there's a safety there, and that allows the pain and the sometimes betrayal, abandonment to be cushioned by a relationship that somehow is sustainable, even when there's that kind of pain involved.
Definitely. And I think that, I mean, I agree. And it's interesting, you know, my friend Patty shared about how her faith got stronger through her experience of the loss of her son, but it wasn't an overnight process. And like you, you know, allude to, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of pouring out. There's a lot of grief and honesty and openness that is involved in that process. And it is encouraging though to hear, when people go through things like that, there is a way to come out on the other side of that. And there is a way, you know, ultimately through that, where those things can be redeemed. I mean, now Patty works to advocate for other family members who have lost children. You know, she coaches other family members on how to support their kids struggling. She has, like, God has likely used her, and she's likely helped, you know, help save lives. So Joel, in a sense, his life, you know, like you talk about this changed relationship with those that we've lost, Joel's life is still having an impact today through Patty and through her work. And that is a beautiful, mysterious thing.
Yeah. And that's, I think when we can leave room for the, you know, an essential part of the grief journey, eventually, not immediately, but eventually, is, okay, I'm still here. What is my purpose? What is my identity? How has it shifted? What's the same? And so we go through this process. And what you are describing about Patty is that she did that. She embraced that process. She did the hard work and accepted that, you know, acceptance, right? That's huge within addiction recovery. Acceptance is a key factor. And when we can do that, when we can stop fighting against it and we can embrace all of the emotions, we can eventually reach a point where identity is learned and purpose is renewed, and we're able to then continue on into this new trajectory, this new path, and look for the ways that our loved one continues to show up. It doesn't replace it. It doesn't fix it. You know, Joel's physical presence is not here, and that for Patty never goes away. Yet there are ways that he continues to influence, and there's something about that. There's a gift in there that physically, yes, he's gone, but there are still a lot of ways that Joel contributes to this world. And that can be a balm, I think, for people.
Absolutely. So to finish up, I think we have just a couple more minutes here. Your book, which is out now, I'm going to be including links in the summary to the podcast. So please check it out. Faith Doesn't Erase Grief, Embracing the Experience and Finding Hope. Kate, my last question for you is, what is your hope ultimately for your book out there in the world?
I really want simply to change the narrative. Simply, that's probably not the right word, but I want to change the narrative about grief. It's improving. I think recognition of what grief is improving. But you know, there's still this expectation that 3 months later, 6 months later, people should just be fine. And that's not an option. Life is forever changed when there is a death. And that doesn't have to be. The flip side of that is having life forever changed does not have to be a negative. If we can learn to live within a both and, I think that we can be just much healthier, open to more connection. And something I really wanted to say to your audience in particular is, one of the things I unpack within the book is about disenfranchised grief. And when there is a death resulting from overdose, or even from an alcohol, or, well, particularly an alcohol-induced disease, those deaths, the grievers of those deaths are not given as much support, grace, space to deal with their grief. That is not okay. And, you know, so I need those people to hear that your grief is equally as valid. And your person who died is more than their battle, is more than their disease. And they deserve to be remembered as such. And so that's my hope for this book, is that people would get their loved ones back, the fullness of their loved ones back, and to be able to release the shame that others are putting upon them, that others are putting upon the memory of their people, it's time to change the narrative of grief, and it's time, not just for Christian grievers, but for people who grieve with a faith, to know that they don't have to cancel each other out, that they in fact really can support one another and help each grow in different ways.
Thank you for sharing that, Kate. And it is so encouraging when folks, for me especially in the faith community, talk about that piece, talk about the disenfranchisement, talk about the difference there really is that exists, the stigma around addiction recovery and also addiction loss, and how that can impact our grief journeys as well. So thank you so much for sharing today. I'm so excited to connect my audience with your book, Faith Doesn't Erase Grief. It's out there wherever books are sold. And thank you again, Kate. And I look forward to continuing this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. Remember, I've got some great free resources and tools to guide your recovery journey at brightstoryshine.com.